anti-Semitism is on the rise in America, and that's ironic. For example, the father of our country, George Washington, a devout Christian, wrote a letter in 1790 to the oldest still operating synagogue in America, which is in Newport, Rhode Island. And he said in that letter, quote, "May the children of the stock of Abraham who dwell in this land continue to merit and enjoy the goodwill of the other inhabitants, while everyone shall sit in safety under his own vine and fig tree, and there shall be none to make him afraid," end quote. By the way, that last part of that is from a Bible verse from the book of Micah in the Old Testament. Well, fast forward to today, and we see anti-Jewish sentiments and actions rearing their ugly head. We're going to talk right now with Scott Phillips of Passages to Israel, who tries to help young people in America to not go down the path of any kind of anti-Semitism. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point, and we welcome Scott Phillips back to the program. Scott, thanks so much for joining us.
Jerry, thanks so much. It's a pleasure to be with you.
And tell us about your organization and how does it address the issue of anti-Semitism?
Well, that's a great question and such an important topic, and so grateful that you're bringing this up on your show. I think that, number one, it's so important for Christians to understand this topic because our roots as Christians exist within Judaism, and we exist as believers in Jesus because of the Jewish people and because of God's choosing of the Jewish people and his faithfulness to the Jewish people. The writers of the Bible, I would say arguably are all or almost all Jewish, and so it's a very Jewish book, and there's a whole context and background, a Jewish background to the Bible, both the Old Testament or the Hebrew Scriptures and the New Testament. And so for us to understand, number one, that we share so much in a value set, we share 3/4 of a book. We as Christians would not be here if it weren't for the Jewish people. So I think that's point number one, why it's so important. And then point number two is that the Jewish people have been persecuted, for thousands of years, and certainly almost 2,000 years at the hands of those who have called themselves Christians. And so if Jesus is Jewish, right, and the disciples were Jewish, and the writers of the Old Testament were Jewish, there's no opportunity there. There's no common sense that says that Christians can be anti-Semitic in any way, shape, form, or fashion. So at Passages, the idea is, can we take students on a trip to Israel where their faith was born to help them discover the roots of their Christian faith, to help them understand the Bible in its context, the redemptive narrative from Abraham all the way to Jesus and the disciples and the apostles who carried the gospel, to the nations, and really understand the Bible in its entirety. And if they could do that, they can understand the part that the Jewish people have played in this story and continue to play, as there's obviously a modern state of Israel. There are still Jewish people today. So if we can show students that, we both strengthen their faith and build bridges of friendship with Israel and the Jewish community.
And is it working?
We believe that it is. We do. We do believe that it is. So many of our students, depending on where they come from, in the country, and we recruit from all over the country in both Christian schools, non-Christian schools, and a lot of our students have never met someone who's Jewish before. Those who have met students who are Jewish before are on campuses where there's rise in anti-Semitism, and they may not realize that there are anti-Semitic things happen, events happening on their campuses. And so these students, if they can if they can understand the history of anti-Semitism and recognize it when they see it, they're going to be able to, from a heart level, from the deep place of faith, say, no, I'm going to stand with my Jewish friends. Because as you mentioned, it is at the very cornerstone of our country that Jews should feel safe here and as citizens of the United States of America. And for citizens of the United States to feel like they can't be themselves, be Jewish in this case, then that's shocking that happens in America.
Well, I have here Newsmax magazine from July 2023. We're recording this right now in July of 2023. And here's one of the articles they have. And by the way, the name of the article is The New Anti-Semitism. Here's a quote from that. According to the FBI, American Jews are five times more likely than Muslims to be the victims of religious hate crimes, many of which have been incited by the anti-Israel propaganda spread by pro-Islamist groups like the Muslim Students Association, American Muslims for Palestine, Students for Justice in Palestine, and the Boycott, Divestment, Sanctions Movement. These organizations accuse Israel of being occupiers and murderers in an apartheid state. Well, there's a lot to unpack there. Feel free to wax eloquent.
Sure, sure. So I think what we're seeing right now is anti-Semitism coming from the far left and the far right on occasion. I think that on the far left, it really many times turns out up as anti-Israel and, you know, all of the things you just mentioned there. Because ultimately, if you tell a people group who've been persecuted for thousands of years that they have no right to a state of their own to protect themselves and defend themselves, that's anti-Jewish, that's anti-Semitism. And certainly that would apply there. I think on the far right, you have, you know, some, I think it's fringe, you know, that are entertaining some of the old stereotypes, anti-Semitic stereotypes that we've seen, unfortunately, in the last century, you know, during the Holocaust and the pogroms and other, you know, anti-Semitic incidents and persecution against the Jewish people. And so you see these things happening, I think, both on the left and the right. And I think that we have to stand up against both of those ideologies in order to keep anti-Semitism from spreading and growing.
Can you explain the boycott, divestment, sanctions movement?
The BDS, boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement is ultimately aimed at criticizing Israel for its actions within the Palestinian territories, and creating a sense that Israel's occupying the West Bank, and that companies, schools, states, governments should boycott Israel in any way because of their actions in the Palestinian territories, whether that be security actions. Israel, you know, is obviously always fighting terrorism and is trying to prevent terrorism from happening within its borders. And there's always sort of position of settlements or Jewish communities being within the West Bank. Jews would call it Judea and Samaria. Palestinians would call it Palestine. It's a very complicated issue, but ultimately BDS is an aim to delegitimize Israel and delegitimize Jewish presence in their ancestral homeland. And so that's why you see a lot of state governments, federal government has done a lot on this as well, to really fight against the BDS movement.
Well, the people that are against the modern state of Israel, you know, for example, and there's a lot of protests on the college campus. I don't need to, you know that very well.
Sure.
in the guise of anti-Zionism, really, what they're essentially claiming is that Israel is an apartheid state, which means that it's race-based and that, you know, the Palestinians that live there are second-class citizens. And yet, on the other hand, I hear people describe Israel, well, it's the only democracy in the Middle East, you know, the representative government in the Middle East. So just deal with that allegation of apartheid state, of Israel being an apartheid state.
Yes. Good question. I think that, those who are calling Israel an apartheid state don't really understand what an apartheid state actually is. Going back, you know, into history and looking at actual apartheid states and what those were comprised of. But if you take a look at Israel and you see the representative government, as you mentioned, with Arabs, Muslims, Christians, and of course Jews, representing in Israel's Knesset or their parliament, in their Supreme Court, even there's diversity. And so in a true apartheid state, you don't have a representative government where, you know, there are you know, let's say in a Jewish state where there are Arab lawmakers that are able to be a part of the parliament, the Knesset in Israel. So obviously that puts that to rest, in my mind at least, very quickly. And so I think it is, it's obviously, a mischaracterization at the least to call Israel apartheid state. And I think you mentioned campus and, whenever you have these large anti-Israel rallies, whenever you have BDS, boycott, divestment, sanctions come to a campus, just imagine yourself as a Jewish student on that campus and how that would make you feel. Us as the audience, how that would make us feel to see a place that is the Jewish state be criticized to not having a right to exist. And there also the fallout that happens toward the Jewish students on campus. And that, I think, can lend to why Jewish students do feel unsafe so many times on campuses.
I want to go ahead and quote that Newsmax magazine article in reference to a Gallup poll. I guess they've been doing an annual tracking of attitudes toward Israel. This is what they said, quote, "This March's annual Gallup tracking poll of attitudes toward Israel and the Middle East conflict show that for the first time ever, a majority of Democrats now sympathize with the Palestinians, not Israel. Currently, 49% of Democrats favor the Palestinians, with only 38% supporting Israel. Among Republicans, 78% back Israel, with only 11% preferring the Palestinians. That is an astonishing difference." Now, I don't want to necessarily bring politics into it, but this is a part of the reality we're dealing with today.
Yeah, and I think that, one of the really important things that we have to do for the U.S.-Israel relationship and the benefits that both countries get from being close allies is that this must remain a bipartisan issue. And if this is, if the bipartisan nature of this relationship is in danger, certainly Israel's security is put in danger. Certainly the benefits the United States receives from its friendship and allyship with Israel is in danger. So it is concerning that this is becoming more and more of a partisan issue. It definitely the only way that it has worked for the past, dozens of years is that it has been a bipartisan issue. And so it is concerning. And I hope that it does not turn into a partisan issue.
We have less than 2 minutes to go. If there's anything else you want to bring out, please do. And I do want you to maybe tell an anecdote or two, an example of one of the students that went on your trip to Israel and how it changed things for him or her.
Absolutely. We just started bringing high school students to Israel this year. Our focus is mostly college students, but we have just expanded to serving high schoolers as well. And there was a student on one of our first few buses this summer going to Israel, and they had never made a public declaration of faith before coming on this trip. And they ultimately, on the third or fourth day of the trip, decided, I want to be baptized in front. I've never been baptized. I want to be baptized in front of all my friends. It was their youth pastor who was there with them helping lead the bus. And they publicly declared their faith in Jesus. And I think that's one of the amazing things that can happen. And we've seen happen so many times where students, maybe they're believers, maybe they're not, maybe they grew up in a Christian background, but their faith becomes so real to them and becomes, it offers such a foundational experience to prepare them for what they're going to face in college and in their careers and in their lives. And so this is just a very, an important program in our mind to be able to provide a new generation who are looking for answers with the answer, which is God and His Word and His ways.
And they would even see for themselves, that, again, the Palestinians are not second-class citizens in the nation of Israel. What is your website? We have enough time for that.
Sure. It is passagesisrael.org.
Passagesisrael.org. Okay, Scott Phillips, thanks so much. All the best.
Jerry, thank you.